I think I do want to take a few moments just to talk with everyone, give a brief message, hopefully a sermon at length. But I take it all of you have been keeping up and keeping track of what's been happening in our world and in our country over the last few days, over the last week. Not that far, a few hundred miles away from here, a few hours drive, there is complete civil unrest. There are riots, vandalism, looting, theft. People are burning cars, all sorts of things, because of an evil that was done over there. A man was killed. And it's interesting because I get the news, I filter it in, but I don't just watch it all the time, because I found that it's overwhelming, it's discouraging. And so I check Facebook, I look at things, see how people are doing, what people are posting. And something that has struck me is that as our nation is in a point of upheaval and turmoil, you know, it filters in. Whether we're watching the news or it's something that we get off the internet, it has an impact on us. It stirs us up. It creates anxiety, fear, anger, wrath. And I've been shocked at some of the things that I've heard and that I've watched and that I've seen spread. It's amazing to me, and what I've been looking at, especially over the last week, as things are reaching a more fevered pitch, with civil unrest especially, that what is being spread online through social media, the anger, the wrath, the lies, the false narratives, the theories, that is far more detrimental than COVID-19. It's doing more damage and more harm as a spiritual virus than this physical virus that has managed to shut down our nation. And I wonder, you know, why is this? You know, I see things online and you know, I'm on Facebook. And I have a lot of friends that I've known through my life that aren't in the church, that are either, you know, some of them are atheists, some of them are agnostic, they don't know. But, you know, you're connected through social media, whether some people are on Twitter or Facebook, there's other things. And it's amazing to see people who do not live in the areas, are not connected in any way, and yet the hatred, the wrath, the venom that pours out of people, and how it's getting stirred up and spread around. And even the brethren that I know and love that are in the church, we're impacted by this. It has an effect. And I wonder, do we realize what it is that we then do? Because so often, we see something, it's shared with us, and we go, oh, that's awful, and then we share it, or we send it out, or we comment on it, we say things. And it always amazes me, because I think, what good is that doing? If I'm going to open my mouth and I'm going to say something, share something, whether it's, again, from fellowship and the conversations that I'm going to have, or whether I'm going to put out something out on the internet and send it out to everyone, am I doing good? Is this something godly? Is it truthful? Do I know that it's truthful? Do I really know the truth of it? Is it relevant? Is it even recent? There's people, I've seen articles that were posted, and people are like, oh, it's this big thing, and it's like stirring everybody up, and everybody's upset. And then somebody goes on, and they go, this was written 4 years ago. And you're like, what? But we were so upset and indignant, and it's old news. It's from the last decade. So what is it, as Christians, as we have these worldly sound waves and information waves coming into us, and we're absorbing it, we're hearing it, we're seeing it, what is coming from us? What waves are we sending out? So I want to have you all, if you would, look at Ephesians. It's interesting to me that, you know, Paul's writing during the golden era, if you would, of the church, right? Because everybody says, oh, if we could just go back to the first century church, back when it was good, when they had the truth, and everybody kept it. The first century church was just like today. You look at all the problems, all the disputes, all the wranglings over doctrines, over sin, over people arguing and fighting between who's in charge, who the master is, who the slave is, who's got wealth, who doesn't have wealth. And even the lands in which they lived, many of them were slaves. The Roman Empire, which persecuted them, you know, Nero killed countless thousands of Christians. He himself was murdered by his own guard. So they lived in a time when the nations were in civil unrest and upheaval. There were revolutions going on, armies marching. It's not that different than where we are today. So Paul's writing to the church during that time. And he writes to the church in Ephesus. And he says to them, you, essentially, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So he's saying, this is that renewing that you need, because those waves, they keep coming in. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Because as we're being bombarded with all the signs, all the wonders that are out there, the information that we're getting, it's hard not to fall back on our baser instincts, our own carnality. It's hard not to have that, you know, stirred up. And he says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. So, again, you know, we get things, and it's not necessarily that we're making up stories, that we're coming up with falsehoods or a false narrative or lies or disinformation and trying to do something with it. But what if we're just spreading it? What if we're just, oh, I saw this article or this thing come across, and did you know? And suddenly we're speaking as if we're have an authority on it? Or we just, oh, that's horrible, and we send it out. Again, how I speak for myself, there's a reason why I'm almost ever do I post anything on social media. Because once, years ago, I read something and I kind of checked it and I thought, oh, that's right, and I shared it, and guess what? It was wrong. It's not hard to do. Most people who are on social media have done that at least once. Made a statement, shared something, gone public with it, because that's really what it is. It's public. And it was false. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. You can speak truth. Truth is rather visible. Verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. So much of what gets posted right now, and again, some of the things that I've read, there was one yesterday that, again, not someone in the church, but they posted something just decrying the corruption of Washington and hatred towards the president. And the people that responded, you know how hard it is to swear and cuss while you're typing? I mean, you genuinely, in order to use that kind of language, especially that much, you've got to arrange it mentally into a sentence that makes sense. Why would you do that? And yet that's what people are doing. And it's so easy when we see something that makes us mad, that makes us angry. Many translations actually translate this verse, be angry and do not sin, as essentially, do not sin in your anger, because it's almost impossible to have righteous anger. You know how easy it is to sin when you get upset, when you're angry? Maybe even justifiably so. But the reaction that we have is sin. I think that's what's happening in Minneapolis right now. People are upset. They saw something happen, an atrocity. Is there any good coming out of it? Any good? It's very different than the civil rights movement of the 1960s. Do you think Martin Luther King would have told them to burn down buildings, to destroy people's cars, to fight and beat people up? No, back then, what actually made a difference in our country, in our nation, was people marched, they banded together, and they did it peacefully, even if they were attacked. And it changed our nation. They weren't destroying things and stealing and looting and robbing. Back then, they were trying to stand up for human dignity. The water fountain that they were allowed to drink from, or the seat where they were allowed to sit. And again, our way is, how's it affecting us? And then what are we sending out? How do we speak of it? Because in verse 27 it says, nor give place to the devil. Because this is what follows. When we sin, when we let anger, wrath, take control, I'm so tired of those Republicans, Democrats, race baiters, whatever. What good is that? And then if we go on a public forum and we spread it out, we sin, almost inevitably. Verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good. So this is an actual doing something which is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Do we send out something encouraging? Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. That's something that we have to consider before we open our mouths and say something, before we share something, whether it be a post on Facebook or some juicy little tidbit that we think we know. We have to ask ourselves, how is this helping them? How is this going to edify them and do good? That it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We can even do that on Facebook. People post things that offend us, and our natural instinct is to, well, I'm going to set you straight. Is there a way that we can respond to them that will actually bring peace, love, wisdom, grace? Philippians, Paul is again writing to a church living during that time, church in Philippi, Philippians 4. In Ephesians, at this section, he's talking about, you know, don't do all these things. Don't act like that. Don't act like these people in the world. Don't let it affect you, and don't spread it around. And in Philippians 4 and verse 5, he says, instead, do this. Let your gentleness be known to all men. Let your gentleness be known to all men. And what would you post or share or talk about, whether it's on Facebook or whether it's during our fellowship, that shows gentleness? And then what is stated is, the Lord is at hand. That's saying, if God is coming, if Christ is going to return, we need people to know that we're His disciples, that we are gentle, that we're meek, controlled. In verse 6, be anxious for nothing. You know, that fear that gets stirred around when we talk about stuff. Oh, did you hear about this or did you hear about that? Those anxious cares. But he says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know how easy it is when you're worried about stuff or you're watching the news or, you know, this all these things going on? To just go to God and go, oh, God, save us. Look at how bad it is, and when are you coming, and it just can't get any worse, and we... Rah. But if we take at least the first half of our prayer, and we say, thank you. Thank you, Father, for all that you have done for me, all that you have given to me, for the friends, for the family, for the health, for the life. And it's amazing. As you start thanking God, you think of more and more. And it changes our perspective. It changes our hearts and our minds. And then we make our requests known. Because God already knows what all the problems are. He's watching. But it will definitely change the way that we come to Him. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that's the peace that we all want. That's the peace that they don't have in the rest of the world. That's the peace that we need that allows us to see what's happening all around us and to not be afraid. He says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. This is something, brethren, that we choose to do. It's not just refraining from doing what is wrong, but choosing to purposely do something good, to spread good news, to spread hope to a world that's looking for hope, to spread strength to a world that's weak and afraid. Brethren, if we can choose to share of ourselves in our languages and maybe even from our monitors, whatever is true and noble and just and pure and lovely, of good report, whatever is virtuous and praiseworthy, then we will be sending out ripples that will combat everything that's coming in. The world doesn't need any more anger. They need healing. Christ came to heal the brokenhearted. And that's what he expects us to do. So, brethren, let us choose in this time of chaos and upset and anger and evil to do good.